have tuned in to Talon Mark's Campus News Hour on WPMD.org, Cerritos College Radio on the net, bringing essential student body information, news, sports, and the arts to the entire Cerritos College campus community. Here are your hosts, Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavides and Managing Multimedia Editor Lucia Sarabia.
Today is February 15th, 2012. Welcome to the fifth edition of Talon Mark's Campus News Hour for the spring semester, bringing you news and information campus-wide. I'm your host, Tito Benavides.
And I'm Lucia Sarabia.
Good morning, Falcons! Cerritos College transfer ratio has maintained a questionably low level into Cal State Fullerton as well as Cal State Long Beach. The reasons these numbers are so low are due to steps taken by city governments to improve the number of local students to the disadvantage of students applying from Cerritos College. Staff writer Rodrigo Nunez reporting.
Cerritos College's transfer rates have kept their low percentages over the years. The fall 2010 semester had shown that only 21% of the students who applied to California State University Long Beach were admitted. That is 40.1% fewer than 5 years ago. Today, the transfer rate has shown little improvement. Dr. Linda Lacey, president and superintendent of Cerritos College, reveals that in the fall term of 2011, out of the 716 students who applied, only 222 students were admitted. That is 31%, a 10% increase due to a few more federal dollars, Dr. Lacey states, who also attributes the low transfer rate to the local service area policy that both California State Fullerton and Long Beach have adopted.
I can tell you right now, I attribute this completely to the local service area policy that both Cal State and Fullerton have adopted.
Students who plan to transfer share different feelings about the reasons they might not be admitted to their university of choice. English major Wendy Gonzalez said,
"Yes, because of all the classes are very impacted and it's very hard to get all your classes done, so."
She shared what she was doing to help her.
"Well, I'm in the teacher track. It doesn't guarantee my acceptance there, but it helps me. Gives me a better chance, so that's what I'm doing."
Arseny Bichet, business major, believes he will not be affected.
I believe I'll be well off. I think I'll make the cut. It's just a lot of factors that go into it. I think I'm well ahead of the game.
He shares his efforts.
"I'm trying to keep a good GPA. The honors program is good, and just a lot of extracurriculars, I guess."
Graphic design major Marquise Newborn had different reasons why he might not transfer.
"Like the requirements, or just like if it's different here, or like if they won't accept like the classes I've taken or something like that."
Dr. Linda Lacey states that the low percentages over these years have been served through unjust grade point average requirements imposed on Cerritos College students. She gave an example as to what the GPAs look like.
"As an example, it would require students 3.5 to get into Long Beach, and their students a 2.3. And I think one of the main things that I'm most concerned about is that Golden West and Orange Coast and Coastline College, which are further distance-wise from Long Beach, have priority local admissions over us. So therefore, their students drive right through our district to get to Long Beach."
She stated that it was worse with Fullerton when Cerritos College students required a 3.7 GPA, where Long Beach transfers were required only a 2.3 GPA. She continued,
"When they develop the local service areas, just for reader background, what it did was create a higher grade point average for the Cerritos College students than did it for other colleges."
She pointed out in one of her letters to Dr. F. King Alexander, president of CSULB, that their explanation that its campus will become fully impacted in 2013 does not provide relief to the current situation. Dr. Linda Lacey has clarified that they will not let this issue go.
"And you probably know we're fighting this every avenue possible. We have gone all the way from the grassroots level of meeting with the local presidents to meeting and talking with the statewide chancellor, Charlie Reed, for CSUs."
She recommends for the Cerritos College students to be proactive and take part in the public hearings regarding proposed changes. Also, for every student to do their best in getting their GPA where it needs to be. She hopes to avoid any legal settlement that will hurt the relationship between Cerritos Community College and its local universities.
"Every one of our legislators' offices in Sacramento and in their local area offices, so they're very aware of it, written numerous letters and had meetings to discuss this issue because it is a great injustice to Cerritos College students. So, as a matter of fact, I have another meeting next week with Cal State again on this issue. Our Board of Trustees have been very involved in this of late, and really we're not letting this issue go.
For Talon Marks, Campus News Hour, I am staff writer Rodrigo Nunez reporting.
This week's Free Speech Zone focuses on the freedom of speech through the clothes students wear on campus. The question posed to students by staff writer Israel Arzate is, do you think there should be a dress code here at Cerritos College?
Hello, I am staff writer Israel Arzate with this week's Free Speech Zone. The question posed to students is, should there be a dress code at Cerritos College?
My name is Natalie Ramillo and my major is undecided. I don't think so.
Can you explain that? Why do you think it's not a good idea?
Well, I think so everyone could come comfortable in what they're wearing, and so it won't be a hassle like with the uniform and stuff. Or dress code.
My name is Diego Juarez, and my major is Culinary Arts. I think it's a bad idea. If you think about it, we have so many clothes at home, and for us to buy more clothes, that's wasting money to clothes instead of books or what we need for school. Because a lot of students like myself, we need that money instead of buying our uniforms, we need to buy our bus passes.
Should there be a dress code at Cerritos College?
Ruben Ortiz, criminal justice. No. Personally, because I think a dress code kind of limits and restricts us from what we can wear. I mean, in some cases, a dress code is okay. Like girls, when they wear way too little.
My name is Shams. My major is accounting. My last name is Riga. No, in college is more they depend on themselves.
For Telemark's Campus News Hour, I am staff writer Israel Sate reporting.
With plenty of animalistic behavior by average students here at Cerritos College, the prospect of bringing a pet to class might seem innocent enough, but our feathered and four-legged friends are not completely welcome here on campus. Staff writer John Gonzalez levels his point of view on this week's Campus News Hour opinion. Should pets be allowed on campus?
Having your pets on campus is probably one of the worst ideas anyone can have. Unless you need a seeing eye dog or you're a pirate with a cool parrot on your shoulder, do not bring your pets on campus. Pets are supposed to be domestic animals, meaning that they should be left at home unless you are taking them for a walk or to the vet. Pets on campus is like putting a bull in a china shop. It's just one bad thing waiting to happen. What are people thinking when they bring animals to school? Do they think they'll look like Paris Hilton or perhaps Caesar Milan? The problem with pets on campus is that anything can go wrong at any time, from an attack to a dog pooping somewhere. If students don't even do their homework, how are we supposed to trust them with cleaning up after their pets? The last thing anyone on campus wants is to step on a piece of turd and have to go to class with the smell of a kennel at their feet. Not to mention the embarrassment of stepping on a turd at school. People also have allergies to certain animals. Bringing them to school can cause someone a trip to the hospital or maybe even the morgue. There is no point in having a pet on campus. Students are here to learn and expand on their education, not take care of an animal. This place is already a zoo as it is. Having more animals in here will just make things crazier and more hectic. People should just leave their pets at home, just as they leave their kids at a daycare or with a babysitter. There is no place for them here on campus. Pets are best kept at home to guard your house and personal belongings, not getting an education that you are paying for. For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, this is staff writer John Gonzalez reporting.
The newest art exhibition titled Imminence Envisaged is wowing art enthusiasts at the Cerritos College Art Gallery. Students and the general public are invited to view work from local and international artists. Staff writer Martin Calderon comes face-to-face at Facial Expressionism.
An opening reception was held at the Cerritos College Art Gallery on January 31st to promote its newest art exhibition titled Facial Expressionism, Imminence Envisaged. Students, as well as the general public, were invited to get a first look at artwork created by 16 artists from around the world. The art club hosted the reception from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. and provided complimentary hors d'oeuvres and beverages in the courtyard just outside the gallery. Once inside, guests were greeted by Cerritos College alumni and gallery manager Joseph Cervantes, who provided music as the reception's DJ. Cervantes talks about the reception and why it is important for students to visit the art gallery.
It gives them an opportunity to explore art in a different way. Since a lot of people don't like going to museums or other galleries since they're so far away, we give them the opportunity to check it out and just to have fun and to keep us employed. I mean, the arts are dying here, so we need to push that.
The director and curator of the gallery, Professor James McDevitt, took time to share his knowledge about each piece with spectators. He also introduced visitors to the Student Spotlight. This exhibition marks the gallery's first Student Spotlight, which is a wall devoted to art created by Cerritos College students like art communication major Galileo Gonzalez. Gonzalez's piece is made from reconstructed cargo pallet that he found at work, as well as different colors of paint to create an abstract image of a man on it whom is holding his face. He found his inspiration for this piece while he was a student working the graveyard shifts at a local grocery store. Gonzalez's piece served as the impetus for the facial expressionism show itself. Visitors included family, friends, as well as students from other campuses. Cerritos College graphic designer major Emmanuel Padilla described his favorite piece titled "All Right, Boo, 1, 2, 3.
It's funny. Of course, it's showing that the guy was taking a picture
right.
with a bunch of his friends, his homies, or whatever. And it's just great the way he translated all the hand signs and obviously what you would see those kind of friends doing when they're taking a picture. It kind of gets on my nerves that it's gangsters because they normally just annoy the hell out of me, but it's a good painting.
Several classes paid a visit to the gallery, which served as a teaching tool for people like ESL professor Norberto Nunez, whose lesson plan coincidentally covered the gallery's theme of facial expressions. The exhibition is at the Cerritos College Art Gallery and will run until March 15, 2012. The gallery is located in Fine Arts Room 50, and its hours are available at www.cerritosgallery.com. For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, this is Martin Calderon reporting.
You're listening to WPMD.org's Cerritos College Radio. We'll be right back right after these messages.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Here's a quick exercise that will not only get you feeling better, it will save you money too. Just walk down to your human resources manager's office and ask if your company's flexible spending account program, or FSA, is reimbursing for non-prescription drugs. That's right, over-the-counter medicines. You already know and trust them to help you get relief from aches and pains, colds, flu symptoms, allergies, and more. Now, thanks to an IRS change in tax laws, they're eligible expenses and company FSAs. So ask your employer about non-prescription medicines and your flexible spending account today. A public service message from WPMD and Telemark's Campus NewsHour.
Gaining weight was easy. All I had to do was sit down and eat. Losing weight, well, that's a lot harder. I have to work at it every day. But with every step, I lower my risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And that makes every step, every choice, every day...
Morning, Daddy!
...very much worth the effort. Morning, sweetie. I'll be done soon.
Learn how you can help stop diabetes by losing weight, eating healthy, and staying active. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Today and every day, the American Beverage Institute, representing America's leading family restaurants, urges you to always celebrate responsibly and to make safe driving a priority. That not only means drinking responsibly, but also buckling up, obeying the speed limit, and avoiding distractions while driving. A public service message from WPMD and Talonmark's Campus NewsHour.
Feel the beat.
It's what's happening, who's happening at Cerritos College, and why.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're watching and listening to.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's your school, your town, your world, your life. Read about it in the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com. The beat of Cerritos College.
WPMD.org, Cerritos College Radio. You are listening to Talon Marks Campus News Hour. Campus News Hour.
Campus News Hour.
With your host, Tito Benavidez.
And co-host, Lucia Sarabia.
Okay, on Talon Marks Campus News Hour, we tend to have a guest on every episode, so we can go ahead and open the voice of the people that have something to say. And I could honestly say our next guest has way much to say because he's always talking. Mr. German Sanchez, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me over.
You got it. Now, German, I understand that there's a lot of things that you are participating in coming up.
Yeah, the one thing, because I'm part of Anime Club, and Anime Club tends to be not just about anime, but about having a unique, fun thing to do on campus. So half the time we're watching an anime and planning something to do on campus. And one of our biggest things is Hoedown Days.
Hoedown Days. And now we're going to get the dates on that. That's coming up in March. I know that, right?
Yeah, that's March, March 13th through 15th.
Right on. And what are you going to do for Hoedown Days? Because from what I understand, Hoedown Days is a carnival where the clubs get to make some money and, you know, dole out all kinds of good carnival fun, right?
Yeah, of course. They have the carnival, which every club has an opportunity to make money. From my understanding, the clubs... Actually, I'm sorry, the campus, the ICC people actually give stuffed animals for the clubs to actually, you know, they're able to give for prizes. And it's basically all free for the clubs. They don't have to pay for anything, and they earn the money from the games that they participate in. And that's a pretty good, you know, to especially for us, since we tend to go out places like Anime Expo and such, and we like to plan all these events. So that's a pretty good thing for clubs and other clubs to join in.
Well, that's awesome, you know.
Tell us about Mr. Cerritos.
Oh, Mr. Cerritos, that's actually kind of interesting. Last year, I actually did win Mr. Cerritos 2011.
Wow.
Woo-hoo.
So that was pretty fun and unexpected, to be quite honest.
I sure didn't expect it.
No.
But, I mean, hey, I mean, right on. Now, I heard, I saw the dance, and you can see the dance that you did on YouTube, right? It is posted.
Yeah. I believe you guys actually have a video up of that.
Oh, Talon Marks does. Talon Marks.
Yes, yep. Yes.
Tell us exactly what goes on in the Mr. Cerritos competition.
Yeah.
Well, this is gonna be my third one. The first one was my very first experience, and it was quite interesting because I've never been to one of these before. Like the process is basically you go in, you do a talent, you do an interview. First, you do an interview, then you do your talent. And then you do a swimwear part. And,
Wow.
Now, did you break out like those 1920 ruffle things that they used to have? I mean,
or Speedos?
Or oh, did you go Brazilian on us?
That's, you know, that's the only problem. Well, it's not a problem. It's actually a rule. You can't really wear any Speedos or anything slightly revealing.
Well, I know I can't. I mean, but did you wear any Speedos?
No. Well, the thing with last year was that... I really wanted to do something different from everybody else, because I've actually seen previous years before, and they have some pretty interesting characters, if you want to call it characters. You would assume Mr. Cerritos was more like a who's the manliest kind of thing, or who has the more physique.
Yeah, but obviously not, right?
No, it doesn't work that way, apparently. usually it's who's the most entertaining and who's the most memorable. I that's what I felt. I know previous years there was an Elvis, and I believe he was in the math club. He won Mr. Cerritos 2 years prior to 2011, so that was 2009, I believe.
Honka, honka.
Yeah, and last year it was our president of the student body government. I forgot his name already, but I remember he did the 70s dance. I know he did the 70s dance. He did the disco.
Did he wear a wig? Did he wear an afro?
Yes, he did.
You see, you have to. If you're going to do 70s, you need the medallion and you need the afro.
Yeah. So
and the moves.
And the moves.
And he did have the moves. That's for sure.
Now, are you going to break out what worked for you last time? You were some old man that just threw it down, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. That was unpredictable. I didn't assume I was going to win. I just wanted to have fun. And yeah, it's funny because it just came around. It's like, what opposite thing can I do from the obvious experience? You know, young people.
And you said you participated three times, right?
I'm sorry. It's going to be my third one.
This is going to be your third time.
Yes.
Okay. So what did you do different the second time that you didn't do the first time?
The first time I was, to be quite honest, I was not aware of the process. I mean, they told me exactly what they did, but I didn't plan to do the things because when you first go in, you have to be prepared to do your talent. So that means if you want to do something with a suit or something with an outfit, you have to be ready for that. And so you go up there with questions asked, full suit and all, and then you go do your talent and your walk. And so you can't really – there's no room to change, you might say.
Right.
So you have to be prepared from the start.
Now, was this an aspiration of yours, or was this thrusted upon you, man? I mean, did the anime club, you know, after watching Akira, say, hey, you know what? We want you to represent us, man. handed you the golden goblet of
well, if anything, I was very pushy about it because I wanted other people to do it, not because I wanted people to go with me, just because I was afraid or anxious to be there, but more because the first experience was so much fun. I really wanted to get other people to go on there the second time, which is last year. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I got two other people to go with me, and they seem to have fun. In fact, I think one of them is going to do it again this year.
That's awesome.
And, you know, it's going to be like a little competition rival there.
Not bad. Now, for Hoedown Days, would you consider the dunk tank?
Actually, I've been thinking about it because I saw how fun it was last year. And I like to be on both ends, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
being the person being in the tank and being the person who throws the ball, but half the time I miss.
Yeah, usually I throw the ball at the cage trying to hit the person, and then they escort me off the premises. You know, but like, you know, I still contribute to the cause. You know, whatever the cause may be.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so okay, so what booth did you guys like rally for? A booth? Did you guys show up early that day?
Let's see.
A couple Mondays ago.
Yeah, I was first in line for
you
that.
Were first in line.
Yeah, well, woo-hoo! One of the first ones.
Wow,
I really because
that is some geek power right there,
yeah,
man.
No kidding.
Right,
because unfortunately last year I didn't have the opportunity to come in early, so we missed out on actually getting a booth last year. So I wanted to make sure I got
one this year.
Got one this year, basically. So we were able to, and we're going to do the Froggers, which is basically. You hit a mallet on this little lever thing.
I played it, and I've won on that thing.
Oh, yeah, hopefully cool. You'll win more.
Yeah,
come to our booth.
Totally. And, you know, everyone's going to be on legit. You got to win this time, all right? You guys got to really earn your treasures out there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, I remember there was somebody that was doing a booth with a pie in the face. Would you be interested in that?
Pie in the face?
Yeah.
I'm
You know, you pay somebody, you put some whipped cream in a pan, and then you let them go at you.
I don't know. I have a feeling you just want to dunk me and stuff and throw pies.
Okay, German, going to go ahead and change the direction on this one. We played an opinion piece earlier in the show today about bringing pets to school. Did you hear that?
That's kind of funny because I don't know if you guys knew that. There's a reason why they call me the Birdman around here.
I know. I mean, I know this. German every now and then brings his fine feathered friend with him in his parakeet. Yes, he does. Totally.
Yeah. There's recently I haven't been doing it so because for the same reasons that were kind of announced on the
opinion piece.
Yeah. Because I mean, first of all, my parrots are very dear to me, so. I don't want them to get hurt, but the only reason why I did bring them back in like a year ago was because I had the time to take them here while actually being, you know, I didn't have class. So there was a time where I actually did have time to be able to take care of them while actually focusing on any you know, classes or anything like that. So I was just on campus visiting, and I had apparently had my birds with me.
No, so but you know, in your mind, when you brought your birds, you know, you had your great concern over their care and all that stuff. But did you think that it might, like, you know, bum someone out or like there would be allergens or anything like that? I mean,
of course.
You don't really, because I'm thinking the pet lovers, they just think everyone's going to want to pet them and take a look at them and stuff like that, and which pretty much does happen. But I mean, I don't know why the issue of, you know, why people wouldn't want pets here. I mean, I wouldn't want like a herd of Dobermans coming around or anything like that, but. I mean, I don't see a problem with a parrot. You know what I mean? You know, unless, you know, he tries to fly over me and use me as target practice or something like that. But I mean, what do you think? Will you bring your birds back?
Yeah, well, the only thing I would be concerned is if I have class, for instance, I would not bring him during class. And half the time, the only reason why I did bring him is because there's a really nice pet store that has, you know, they only take care of bird needs, you might say. And so they're very near around here. So that's the only reason why I bring them, because I always take them there and get them groomed or get some toys for them. And then half the time I'll just bring them here.
There's bird grooming?
Yeah, there's bird
grooming.
Like
a feather comb out there?
There's toys?
Yes, exactly. There's bird grooming, stuff like
that.
What
do birds play with?
They're shredders. And what I mean by shredders, they like to tear into things. So depending on the bird itself, you have to buy an appropriate toy for them. So like a big bird, obviously you get something more like a wooden toy, and they'll chew it to bits.
Oh, is that why they like being on trees?
Not quite, but it's just part of their natural, ways of life, you might say.
And what are their names?
My parents' names are Sinchico. It's a random name, just added to
Sinchico.
Things.
I have an uncle Sinchico, actually.
Liar.
Yeah, actually, it's a mixture of two names. Zen being the whole Zen thing, you know,
right.
Peaceful. Because that's the reason why I like them, because they're very Zenful when you watch them. And Chico, because my dad just wanted to name it Chico. I'm like, all right, we'll just add both names.
Sinchico.
Sinchico.
That's awesome name. That sounds like, you know, Juan Epstein.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Really, it's just an awesome name like that. A nice combination of cultures there. In one beautiful name. Now, is there anything, you guys, do you still have Nerd Talk going on?
Yeah, I'm still doing Nerd Talk. I'm trying to expand it a little bit more. I'm actually recording all the shows now, hopefully to podcast sooner or later, trying to get in on iTunes and such. I just noticed how much work it takes to get all that RSC, all that feed going.
Yes,
so
it's a lot of work.
I understand it's a lot of work to do.
Yes, it is, actually. But, you know, the payoff is great when people get to hear your stuff and throw it on their iPods and stuff like that, you know, take you around all over the place, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping to branch out a little, more or less. Not branch out as in, like, go crazy, go to some other company. What I mean is, like, all the nerds, as we call them, from the show, they tend to have, like, focus interests. Like, one likes comics. I apparently like giant robots from Japan. And we were thinking of doing like 2 to 3 minute podcast of our separate interests.
You know, my biggest hero in the world, you know, that isn't God, is Giant Robot. You know who I'm talking about, right? Johnny Sacco and Giant Robot.
Giant Robo?
Yeah, Giant Robot. He was like, you know, oh my God. I believed he was real. He was hanging out and he was saving people from monsters every day. It was awesome.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
So I guess I'm a nerd, too.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yes.
You sound like a nerd right now.
Totally, you know.
I'm
so
like, so out of it. I'm like,
so nerds, throw me a potluck and invite me over, okay?
Yeah, no kidding. You're invited anytime you want.
Okay, man. Okay, well, I want to thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to throw in there? I mean, we've covered parrots. We've covered, you know, dunk booths. We've
Mr.
covered
Cerritos.
Mr. Cerritos. Are you going to, you know, do you have any plans on, you don't have to tell us because you want to keep it a secret, but do you have, you know, an idea of what you're going to do on the stage to try to wow everybody?
You know, that's... After doing the old man stunt.
Mexi-Ghost?
No, not Mexi.
Conchetto?
There was a Mexi-Ghost last year, that's for sure. But after doing the old man
Conchetta?
Thing.
No.
Okay.
Donchetto.
Donchetto.
Yeah, I was going to say, after doing the old man thing, mm-hmm. I don't know if I could... I'm trying not to outweigh what I did last year. I'm just trying to have fun, so I'm going to do something as interesting, hopefully. If anything... If you ever heard that song, I'm Sexy and I Know It.
Oh, LMFAO.
Yes. I might do the particular robot on there.
Oh.
That's all I got to say.
See?
I can't wait.
Can you believe this guy's going to go out and get sexy on everybody? Okay?
Sexy and
just don't give the judges a heart attack, okay? They still need a vote for you.
Yeah, right? I'm avoiding Speedos. If you've seen the video, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to avoid a lot of that stuff.
So where does this happen? Where can we see this?
Oh, it's going to be, I believe, on the 14th of March. I'm sorry, probably the 15th of March, if it's the Thursday.
And it's here at Cerritos?
Yeah, it's here at Cerritos. I know it's going to be at 12 after the chili cook-off.
Okay.
So, which we're part of too. So,
can anybody join that chili cook-off? Is it clubs?
I'm not sure. I think it's still open. I probably have to ask again, but they usually always have room for like the extra chili.
I got that Tito Buzzard chili that I could cook up really good. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, you should do it.
Awesome stuff. Thank you very much, German Sanchez, for being here.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, no, thank you.
All righty. This is WPMD.org. You are listening to
Campus News Hour, Telemark's Campus News Hour.
On Cerritos College Radio. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Feel the beat.
It's what's happening, who's happening at Cerritos College, and why.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're watching and listening to.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's your school, your town, your world, your life. Read about it in the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com. The beat of Cerritos College.
For all the young men who are going to turn 18 this year, here's an important message. Don't forget that within 30 days of your 18th birthday, you must register with a Selective Service. It's the law, and just in case you think it doesn't matter, remember that if you don't register, you'll be shut out of student loan opportunities and job training programs, and you'll lose the chance of ever building a holding a federal job or citizenship. If you're an immigrant trying to become a citizen, so get registered. It's simple. You can do it online at www.sss.gov or pick up a registration card at the post office. Just fill in your name, address, and Social Security number, and you're done. This is a public service message from WPMD and Telemark's Campus News Hour.
If you're planning on teaching, you know you have to pass the CBEST exam. The exam consists of math, reading, and writing. If you plan on taking the CBEST exam, well, the Learning Assistance Program will help you. You see, CBEST preparation is available for you in the Learning Resource Center on a walk-in basis by registering in Read 58. There they offer practice exams, test-taking skills, and tutorials. All this is available in room LC-166, located in the Learning Resource Center in the lower level. For more info, call 562-860-2451, extension 2404.
Our featured student here at Talonmark's Campus News Hour is BMX enthusiast Jamie Bonthius. His skills have landed him on television commercials and a growing notoriety. Managing editor Lucia Saravia delves deep in the mind of this unique athlete.
BMX rider and speech communications major at Cerritos College, Jamie Bonthius, 22, came in first place in the annual Solstice competition. The Solstice competition is an annual music and art festival in which they represent the spirit of hip-hop through the combination of music, art, and live BMX element. Bonthius has been riding since he was 12. He was inspired by his older brother, who used to also do BMX.
My brother. I was young, and you know, brother, little brother always wants to do what the big brother does. And he started riding BMX, and I followed in his footsteps and been riding ever since.
Although he rode all the way through high school, Bonthius decided to take a 3-year break. When he decided to start riding again, he began to ride in a different discipline of BMX called Flatland. Lisette Gomez, Bonthius' girlfriend and communications major at Cerritos College, explains what Flatland is.
Flatland is a different type of BMX where one of your wheels is constantly on the ground. You don't like hop up or do air tricks. It's all on the ground and it's very methodical and it looks very technical from what I've seen.
One of the hardest tricks to do, according to Bonthius, is the prison spin.
My favorite is the time machine. Like my hardest? Mm-hmm. I'd say the prison spin.
Can you explain what it is?
It's a time machine where you have your bike vertically up by your side, mm-hmm. and you're grabbing the wheel and the handlebars, and you kind of hook your leg on the peg and take both your hands off while spinning.
With no serious injuries, besides a broken rib and a dislocated shoulder, Bonthius explained that he got most of his major injuries, such as broken knees, from skateboarding and not bike riding. Bonthius is not sponsored by anyone at the moment, but he has done photo shoots for Nike and participated in the NBA All-Stars halftime show. During his participation in the Solstice competition, Bonthius came in first place, beating a Nike-sponsored runner-up. His prize was a blue bike frame, which he currently has on his bike. Jimmy Durantes, Administration of Justice major and friend of Bonthius, describes him as amazing and very determined. For young and aspiring BMX riders, Bonthius advises them to get out every day and push themselves to do new tricks.
Just have fun with it. Try to get out every day and just push yourself, try to learn new tricks. Don't worry about the competitive side, just have fun, you know?
For Talent Marks Campus News Hour, I'm Managing and Multimedia Editor Lucia Sarabia reporting. With the exhuming of classic animated films and slathering them with a three-dimensional polish and filling the air with fanfare, Talent Marks News Editor Enrique Rivera takes a 2D look at the overall worth of this bombardment of special effects and hype.
3D films are being used only for profit by film distributors. It's been 7 years since the first American 3D feature film, The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lavagirl, was released. It made about $20 million more in the box office.
The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lavagirl in 3D.
The film wasn't as eye-popping as it was hyped. 5 years later, Disney released the remake 3D version of Alice in Wonderland, which made over $150 million profit in the box office.
There is a place like no place on Earth. Some say to survive it, you need to be as mad as a hatter. Which, luckily, I am Alice.
It's you.
Both films performed terrible among film critics. Sure, sometimes it's nice to treat the eye with cheesy 3D tricks, but is it really worth spending $15 or more for it? The culture of cinema was originally to watch a beautiful story being told on the big screen so that people can get their minds off of hard times and not be in risk of serious health eye issues. Resident Evil Apocalypse, which was released in 2010, was hyped up a lot because of its 3D feature, but its eye-popping feature wasn't much of an impact because either way, it was still a terrifyingly bad movie regardless. They have brought back Lion King, not much difference to the story at all. It is basically cheesy 3D tricks. The only good part of it is the fact that they're bringing back their classics onto the big screen so that a younger generation can watch. Is Disney really doing this for money supremacy or because they really want to reintroduce their classics? Who knows and who cares? The point is that most of the 3D effects is not necessary for when the monkey raises Simba into his future kingdom or when Beast dances around with Belle. The same is to any romance 3D film. Nobody really wants to see people kissing passionately in 3D. I honestly don't remember when the film made me lean my head back because of a 3D effect. Not much reaction other than me saying it must have been expensive to make that effect happen. The worst 3D film still has to be Jackass 3D. Who really needs to see a bunch of guys doing ridiculously hilarious absurd things in 3D? That's disgusting, not cool. 3D film might be revolutionary, but for the wrong reasons. Let's get back to the movie theater for the beautiful cinematic storytelling reasons and not just for the eye-popping lameness. Disney actually loves 3D, maybe because they're lacking on new, unique ideas. For Telemark's Campus News Hour, this is news editor Enrique Rivera reporting.
Cerritos College students have taken steps towards successfully balancing family life and their scholastic careers by attending a valuable workshop with information on accomplishing both facets of life. Staff writer Juan Lopez reports.
The 4 Keys to Balancing School and Family workshop that occurred on February 9, 2012 was held by Instructor of Child Development Angela Beck. Math major Raquel Ramirez explains why she attended the workshop.
I came because I know I have a ton of things on my plate. I'm always trying to do way more than I have time for, and I figured this would be a time management workshop would be perfect for me just because of all the things I'm always trying to do.
The workshop focused on ways that students can better improve themselves in many ways. It went over time management, showing students how they can use their time more effectively. It also went over study skills and how students should prioritize and get into study groups. After the workshop, Ramirez felt more prepared than ever.
I actually got a really cool week scheduler that goes hour by hour, you know, half hour by half hour, so I can plan out my entire week down to like the 30-minute block. So I know I'm going to start using that.
Biology major Jason Cooper also attended the workshop and talked about how it helped him.
To learn how to efficiently prioritize my time and how to manage it through my essays and making sure I get stuff done, you know. I procrastinate a lot and I need to make sure I get my stuff done so my plan is to stay at school and stay after school and get it done before I go home, because when I go home, that's when things don't get done right. I feel that all these extra little tips, writing things down on a calendar, should help me out.
This is not the first time Beck has done the 4 Keys to Balancing School and Family. She has done it at least 4 times before. She teaches from her own experience and provides the necessary information to help you along. The workshop also went over how students should build a support system made up of family and friends, even using community agencies. Beck talked about child care and provided students with phone numbers with 4 child care services offered around the area. Child development major Martha Montes sees the value in this workshop.
I need to prioritize my family and school. It gives me a lot of tips in how to be in control and how to organize from the time that I wake up to the time I go to bed and have ready for that, everything ready for that next date with my schedule and my family.
Ramirez commented on Beck's workshop.
I thought she was great. She really knew her stuff, and she gave us a lot of really helpful information. I think that we should have more of them, and that a lot more students should go to them, because I think they'll really benefit a lot.
Beck appreciated the students' energy during the workshop.
It was great. The students brought really good energy. They had a lot of ideas that they wanted to share. I thought it turned out very nicely.
Tentative plans for your workshop in the fall semester is in the works.
We don't have the fall calendar yet, but yes, this is probably my fourth or fifth time offering this same workshop. So yeah, I work with Shannon really closely, and we'll get it on the board for the fall semester.
Students had a good time learning how to balance family and school. Workshops like this are offered at Cerritos College to students who are interested, and they are open to all.
It's a great resource and a lot of information that we don't come to see what is up there for us.
For Telemark's Campus News Hour, I'm staff writer Juan Lopez reporting.
This week's Telemark's Campus News Hour album review sets its sights on Los Angeles legendary rockers Van Halen. Their latest efforts are under intense scrutiny of fans and unloving critics alike. Editor-in-Chief Vic Diaz passes judgment and takes his side on this latest work from the Sonic Warriors.
How can one describe Van Halen's A Different Kind of Truth? It was okay. Yes, much like your family's Christmas parties and the sequel to a movie you extremely enjoyed, the new album from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band is decent, but not much to brag about. A Different Kind of Truth has its high points as well as its low points. The song, You and Your Blues, reminds fans of the classic hit, Dance the Night Away, combined with a bit of modernism in its musical composure.
You and your blues, yes, I am.
Bullethead provides us with a new style of Van Halen, consisting of heavier riffs and more heavy metal-like rhythms, while at the same time maintaining its trademark V8 style. Quite possibly the biggest low point in this entire album is Tattoo, the one song chosen by the band to be its single. Typically, when a song is chosen to be a band's single, it sets the tone for the entire album. Now, if a hardcore Van Halen fan were to hear Tattoo and base his decision on whether or not he'll buy the entire album on what he thought on the song, that would be one less album that would leave the shelves. Now, multiply that one statistic by every single Van Halen fan in the world, and we could possibly have a bad situation on our hands. Tattoo is confusing, and its lyrics are borderline nonsensical. Other songs such as Chinatown, Blood and Fire, and As Is fall through the cracks as not good songs, but not terrible ones either. It's abundantly obvious that age has taken its toll on lead singer David Lee Roth, but it seems to be one of those situations where you don't really seem to mind it, because he still has his trademark vocalistic abilities. Eddie Van Halen is, well, Eddie Van Halen. Not much can be said about him, considering that he is still as amazing as he's always been on guitar, once again setting the standard for guitarists everywhere. One factor that shines by his absence, however, is the missing Michael Anthony on bass, who was replaced by Wolfgang Van Halen, Eddie's teenage son. Although Wolfgang's ability to play bass can be compared to his predecessor, Anthony's vocals, or lack thereof, play a huge role in the lack of musicality in each track. All in all, A Different Kind of Truth can be described as the type of album that fans wouldn't buy. Instead, they'll just get behind their computers, Google search the album name, and download it within minutes. That way, they can say they got their money's worth. For Telemark's Campus News Hour, this is Editor-in-Chief Vic Diaz reporting.
This week's Telemark's Campus News Hour brings attention to the new legislation passed forth to curb the illegal selling of student notes to websites catering to would-be students that do not attend class and still make the grade. Online editor Patrick Dolly speaks for the entire Telemark staff on this issue.
Hello, this is online editor Patrick Dolly. And this is this week's Campus News Hour editorial. In the spirit of goodwill and for the sake of the goal of commencement, study groups have been encouraged by some administrations in several different classes, which involve the sharing of notes taken in class. This innocent tool of learning and sharing information has been blemished by the selfish and egotistical act of selling one's notes taken in class to websites that are intended for folks that do not show up to class for whatever reason. This less than noble form of study has forced the hand of administrations to once again micromanage the whole lot of us because of the stupid selfishness of just a few misguided, enterprising idiots. In order to deter the selling of notes from student to student, some administrations from both UC and California State University campuses strictly prohibit the selling and, in some cases, even the sharing of notes taken in class, which would now be considered a copyright infringement issue. That is to say, the students do not have any right over any of the material gathered in class. This is the problem. The majority of students do not publish study notes for the sake of making a profit with material and information that did not come directly from themselves. The intent and purpose of this ordinance speaks clearly to those who want to have an education, but do not wish to put in all the necessary time and effort to accomplish that goal. To pass a class with somebody else's notes is like making a purchase with stolen money. And what would be the purpose of passing a test by answering questions one has never studied and giving correct answers that one does not even understand? That is not the purpose of school, studying, or an education. There is an old expression stating, clever people are seldom intelligent. In this case, a truer statement could not be said. If you want a degree in any given subject, you'll have to earn it on your own. If you don't have the time, patience, drive, or the will to earn a degree without buying notes someone else has written, then you don't deserve it. This is a universal law of cause and effect. The problem with this ordinance is not the goal it is trying to achieve. Asking people not to quasi-cheat is not unreasonable. Creating a learning environment that assures a purity in study with integrity of self, accomplishment should be the standard. For Campus News Hour, this is online editor Patrick Dolly reporting.
This has been the fifth installment of Talent Marks Campus News Hour for the spring semester of 2012 here on WPMD.org on the net. We thank you for listening and would like to remind you to pick up the latest printed edition of Talent Marks at news racks located throughout the campus. We would also like to invite you to log on to talentmarks.com for the latest and breaking news here at Cerritos College. On behalf of the entire Talent Marks news staff, I'm Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavides. Have a great day, Falcons.